Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Terror in the Holy Land. The death toll from the war in Israel is rising as Hamas and Israelis military trade air assaults. The status of Americans caught in the crossfire.
Plus, tourists are returning to West Maui just 2 months after a devastating fire. But not everyone is welcoming visitors with Lays.
And we're live at the North Carolina State Fairgrounds, where the inspections begin ahead of this week's big opening. And we will take a look at what is new for you. Lots of activity out there on the midway this noon. First up, though, no food, water, fuel, or electricity. Israel's military has taken control of all communities surrounding Gaza now 2 days after Hamas launched a surprise attack. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Israel says more than 700 people were killed, including women and children and 9 Americans, while Hamas claims 550 Palestinians have died. Kelly Kobiea shares video from the ground.
Well, there are new developments in the north of the country. The Israeli military said that they have killed a number of gunmen who crossed the border from Lebanon. People in the area have been told to shelter in place. In one city, people were told to go into shelters until further notice. A Hezbollah official said the group has not mounted any operation into Israel. People here are in a state of shock after the unprecedented attack over the weekend. Videos shared on social media show the chaos that unfolded at a music festival as gunmen from Gaza fired on people and took hostages. Many are still looking for their loved ones today. 260 bodies were recovered from the area where that festival took place over the weekend. More than 100 people were taken hostage. Today, as Israel launches what it called extensive attacks in Gaza on Hamas positions, 70,000 people in Gaza, according to the United Nations, are taking shelter in schools. More than 500 people have been killed in the Gaza Strip. Hamas claims 4 hostages and their captors were killed in Israeli strikes. Israel is warning against taking them for their word. NBC News cannot independently verify the claims. Kelly Kobiea, NBC News, Tel Aviv, Israel.
And the Israel Defense Forces says it has gathered 300,000 troops ahead of what many expect to be a ground operation.
Rallies are taking place across the country on both sides in the wake of the attacks. The Palestinian community gathered at Moore Square for a rally yesterday. The group held signs in protest while chanting and marching through downtown Raleigh. The organizer of the rally called for the release of all Palestinian prisoners. Several airlines are suspending service to Tel Aviv following the Hamas attacks on Israel and are waiting for conditions to improve before resuming those flights. United, Delta, American, and Air France are all suspending direct flights. Separately, NVIDIA, the world's largest maker of chips for AI and computer graphics, is canceling its AI summit in Tel Aviv next week.
The need to elect a new House Speaker growing even more urgent as the U.S. works to come to the aid of Israel amid the unprecedented brutal attacks by Hamas. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise of Louisiana and Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan are vying to replace Kevin McCarthy. They are set to make their pitches to fellow Republicans at a closed party conference discussion today, followed by a candidate forum tomorrow and an internal election on Wednesday. Some lawmakers say time is of the essence to deliver support to Israel as part of existing contracts.
We need to make sure that they have all the resources and equipment necessary to defend themselves, to protect themselves, and protect the Israeli people.
And one of the most influential Republicans not voting has already made his preference clear. Former President Trump is backing Jordan.
Today, groups across the triangle are coming together to show their support as well. WRL's Laura Levine explains how this is hitting close to home for many.
Several organizations are coming together today from Durham to here in North Raleigh. Right now, we are at the David R. Kahn Community Campus, which is really a sacred place for the Jewish community here in the Triangle. I also spoke with a rabbi today who says it feels like everyone knows someone who's missing a friend, a child, or cousin, summing up those emotions pretty well. I also spoke with someone from the Triangle who is in Israel right now. He traveled with a church group. He described hearing rockets and sirens go off as they were in their hotel in Tel Aviv. He also described seeing Israeli militant groups canvassing nearby beaches and extra law enforcement at the airport. The focal point of the violence is in southern Israel near the Gaza Strip, but the devastation reaches every person of Jewish faith. WRL spoke with Frank Turner, who's from Raleigh, now stuck in Israel. He describes hearing the initial signs of the attack.
We had no idea it was as severe, horrific as it was. We just thought it was a couple of rockets had been lobbed, and I think that's what most people in Israel thought.
The Jewish Federation of Greater Raleigh will meet here tonight at 5:30. Local, federal, and state leaders will be in attendance. Laura Levine, WRL News in Wake County.
Lester Holt anchors a special edition of NBC Nightly News from Israel. Lester made his way inside the country from Jordan after more than 4.5 hours at the border.
We've got a large team from NBC who will be going to the border in a caravan. There's a little bit of urgency in that it's a 2.5 hour drive and the border is closing at odd hours. So we want to get there as soon as we can.
And tonight on Nightly News, what Lester witnessed on his journey, plus up-to-the-minute details on the hostages and what we know about American victims.
I'm Eric Miller in the WRAL Live Center. We've got some news breaking on WRAL.com. Right now, Durham police making an arrest in a very concerning case. This goes back to a man who was shooting at a vehicle on I-85 yesterday right around 5:30 p.m. Durham police now saying that they have arrested 24-year-old Jesse Jose Yanez, and he has been charged in that case there. Thankfully, nobody was injured in that instance. We're still working to learn more about what exactly led up to this, why Yanez was allegedly shooting at that vehicle. We'll bring you those details as soon as we get them. Back to you.
All right, thanks, Eric. Well, some candidates across the Triangle are making their final pushes today before voters head to the polls tomorrow in Cary, Durham, and Fayetteville. Voters in 9 counties will go to the polls to cast votes in 30 municipal races. Some municipalities and counties are holding an election that day. However, others are not. Voters will be casting ballots for either a general election or primary. Remember, you do need a photo ID when you go to vote. Polls are open tomorrow from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., and you can visit the State Board of Elections website to check your voter status and also view a sample ballot. Well, you'll hear some loud explosions beginning this week if you live near Fort Liberty. Starting tomorrow, units of 10th Marines Field Artillery Regiment and 82nd Airborne Division will hold artillery training. Demonstrations will happen daily and are expected to last until October 27th. No trainings will happen between 11 p.m. and 5 p.m. and 10 a.m. to noon on Sundays.
While Columbus Day is a federal holiday, many states and cities are celebrating the day as Indigenous Peoples Day. Last year, the Biden administration issued a proclamation declaring the second Monday of October Indigenous Peoples Day. From helping the pilgrims survive a harsh winter to speaking in a code that helped the Allies win World War II, today we honor the contributions of Native Americans. It falls on the same day as Columbus Day as a way to honor the people already living in the country when Christopher Columbus landed in 1492. Now, Indigenous Peoples Day, not one of the 10 holidays that halt trading on the 2023 New York Stock Exchange calendar. NASDAQ, as you can see, Dow Jones Industrial Average, first off, has just climbed into positive territory right there, spent the whole morning in negative territory. NASDAQ is down 61 points right now this noon, and S&P 500 is down 8 points.
We are just days away from the kickoff of the 155th North Carolina State Fair. Ride inspections begin tomorrow and all the fun gets started when gates open Thursday at noon. WRL Scott Mason is on the midway this afternoon with a look at some of the cool things we can expect. Scott, we are 3 days away.
Well, this is the biggest media day event right now in the history of the state fair in terms of the media people and food vendors that are here. This year, there are more than 50 new fair foods. With me is State Fair spokesperson Heather Overton. Heather, what else is new this year at the fair?
Well, we have an exciting fair planned. We're bringing in four new rides to go with the almost 100 that we have here, including one I'm excited about, which is a double-decker Venetian carousel. It's a very pretty ride, and all the kids and their parents are going to want to ride it.
And there's some good entertainment, too, right?
We do. We have all North Carolina concerts. You can catch more than 100 shows while you're at the fair. And we have an exciting, just fascinating bird show that's coming to our North Carolina Conservation Forest area.
Well, that's great. You know what I can't wait for is the girl who swallows fire. That sounds amazing.
Yes, Ember Fire Arts every night in Heritage Circle.
That's great. Thanks so much, Heather. I'm looking forward to it. This is the 155th North Carolina State Fair. Last year, more than 960,000 people attended. Who knows, they may top 1 million this year, as they have done several times in the past. Back to you.
So much to look forward to, including some new delicious foods. Scott Mason, live at the fairgrounds. Thanks, Scott.
Swallow the foods, not the fire.
Right.
Next at noon, there's been another shooting at a Maryland college campus, this time Bowie State, over the weekend. The two people recovering in the search for the shooters.
Also, the State Fair opens Thursday, but there is lots of activity on the Midway already. As you just saw, we can take you live with what else you can expect from this year's fair.
Plus, an update on securing power grids. What's being discussed with Duke Energy regarding the station in Moore County? Kat?
Some of us woke up to temperatures in the 30s this morning. We'll go to the 80s and then crashing back down. I'll walk you through the ups and downs temperature-wise coming up.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
I'm Eric Miller in the WRAL Live Center. Nash County parents out there are going to want to listen to this. The district saying that phone and internet service are down at five different schools from the elementary to the high school level. You see those five schools right there on the screen. Now, school is still in session and class is moving ahead as normal. But the district does want parents to know that if you need to get in touch with the school, need to get in touch with your kid, they are asking people to call the district's PR line. That's right there, 252-451-8517. They say, again, if there's an emergency, you really need to get in touch with your kids. That's the way you're going to want to do that while they're working out these technical difficulties. We'll stay on top of the situation, bring you more details as we have them.
Two teenagers are recovering after a shooting Saturday night at Bowie State University in Maryland. Police responded to the 911 call around 11:45 Saturday night. They say two 19-year-olds were found shot, and officials believe several shooters are involved, but no suspects have been arrested. Bowie State canceled classes today to give students and staff a chance to heal. This shooting comes just 4 days after a shooting injured five people at Morgan State University. Firefighters in Fuquay, Varina are investigating the cause of a townhouse fire on Whitetail Creek Way. This was at the Towns at Buckhaven. Fortunately, firefighters got it out quickly. No one was hurt. No word yet on the extent of the damage.
Fire prevention was the focus of an event in Wake Forest. The Northern Wake Fire Department held its annual Public Safety Day yesterday. The free family event featured fire engines, firefighting demonstrations, and even medical helicopters from Carolina AirCare and Duke Life Flight. This marks the start of National Fire Prevention Week, aiming to educate the public about fire safety.
A lot of what we're trying to do here is show folks that some of these things take time to develop. And kind of just walk people through it. As you know, a lot of people say, well, what takes so long to get the water going to the fire? Well, when you see this kind of operation, and it's usually done in less than 5 minutes, so it's a very efficient operation, but it does take a little bit of time.
They make it really kid-friendly, and it's basically like an accessible way of getting out as a family, having fun things for them to do, but they can also learn something, and they can feel a part of their community. I think that's important.
National Fire Prevention Week is a tradition dating all the way back to 1927. And Raleigh Fire Department also got in on National Fire Prevention Week festivities as well. They hosted their own fall festival yesterday. Local families enjoyed cotton candy, a fire safety themed bounce house, and learning ways to keep their homes safe from fire.
West Maui officially reopened to tourists Sunday, 2 months after wildfires destroyed the town of Lahaina and killed 98 people. Jeremy Lee spoke with business owners who rely on visitors for their livelihood.
In Kaanapali, across from the Sheraton in West Maui, this distribution site is still operational. The beaches in Kaanapali and even to the north in Kapalua aren't exactly packed, but an active tourist economy is restarting in West Maui once more. You could hear the live music over the weekend at the Hula Grill as outdoor diners flock to the restaurant and to Leilani's on the beach in Whalers Village. The sight of boats and visitors on strolls taking photos of the Kaanapali sunset. In Whalers Village, evidence of a slow reopening is apparent as several shops remain shuttered. Some businesses in Honokowai have been open since August. At the Honokowai Food Truck Park, Raul Cruz told KITV4 it's been slow going compared to how it used to be.
Probably from like 800 to 1,000 people a night between, you know, tourists and local people. And right now we have about 20, maybe 30 the most. We just need to keep moving forward. I understand a lot of people having issues with opening, but we need to survive. It's the only way. You know, Hawaii or the island is lit by tourism. So we need to keep opening.
At Whalers Village, there's a sign with a QR code alerting visitors to be mindful of the local recovery effort and even connect visitors with volunteer opportunities.
It was Jeremy Lee reporting. They had to walk such a delicate line of telling folks they can't come there because of all the damage. Now they want them back for their industry.
So good to see them trying to get back on their feet there after all the devastation. All right, let's turn to weather meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WREL Severe Weather Center. Kat, a live look over the state fairgrounds in Dorton Arena. We're 3 days away from the state fair.
Just 3 days away, and boy, it finally feels like fair weather. It feels like fall outside. Ferris wheel ready to go. You can see they are getting everything set up. The ride inspections coming up next. And, of course, all the food going on out at the fair today. Some taste testing, as we just saw about 10 minutes ago here. The NC State Fair opening day forecast looks great on Thursday at noon. That's when gates open. 73 degrees. Our high that day, 80 degrees. So we're going to be warming up. In fact, ironically, Thursday is the warmest day on our 7-day forecast. And then as we get into Thursday evening, temperatures fall into the upper 60s. At this point, it looks partly cloudy and dry. It does appear that there will be some rain to our south, but I think it would stay south of the state fair the way it looks now. But temperatures are going to be going through some ups and downs in the days to come. We are going to be hovering a little bit closer to normal. 77 tomorrow, more clouds on Wednesday mean it's going to be a little bit cooler. 74 for the high, jumping up to 80 for just one day to start the state fair. Mild through the start of the weekend, but we are expecting another temperature drop to come by next weekend. Right now, we are seeing below normal temperatures. Temperatures running about 6 degrees below normal today with a high of just 70. That is why we are in the blue. We begin to see our transition, though. During the middle of the week, we'll be back near normal and then above normal. By the end of the week, you can see these above normal temperatures headed our way. We've got the jet stream ridging to the north, and that's going to drive in some warmer air temporarily. On Friday, you can already see this sharp line here. That's going to be the next cold front that swings through during the weekend. So we may see another temperature drop by next weekend, similar to what we saw this weekend. The difference is that one may come with some rain, and that next front for the weekend will be our best chance for rain. But I should mention there's a very small chance tonight. It would mainly be in southern Virginia. It's just a 20% chance. And as you can see on Futurecast, it would be spotty. It would be light. The bulk of it's going to be in Virginia. For us, I think it's mainly clouds, but we can't rule it out. That's why I have a 20% chance of rain in the forecast later this evening and into tonight. Outside right now, it's bright, sunny, and beautiful. 66 in Durham and Raleigh, not a cloud in the sky. 67 in Fayetteville with a bright blue sky as well. Our temperatures this morning started out in the 30s and 40s. Boy, it was a chilly start to the day. 36 in Roxborough and Southern Pines, but we're recovering nicely with highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s this afternoon, and warmer days will follow. In fact, today is one of our cooler days.
up until we get to next Sunday. High temperatures in the 70s, low humidity, a nice crisp feel, and the mornings won't be quite as chilly. We're going to be in the 50s instead of the 40s and 30s for most of us. And then once we get to the weekend, we have a small chance for rain Friday night, a better chance as that front moves through on Saturday. Michelle and Jeff.
All right. Thanks, Kat. Well, today on your news at 4 and beyond, WREL continues to follow and report on the latest from Israel 2 days after terrorist group Hamas launched its deadly attack. We'll hear from a local woman living in Israel now forced to take cover, plus how many here at home are offering support.
And later at 6, will we see a recession in 2024? Five on Your Side asked the experts, one of whom predicted the economy correctly in 2022. So what he said and what you can do to prepare for next year. And still ahead this noon, from the skies to the courtroom, Delta recently settled a multi-million dollar lawsuit involving refunds during COVID. How to know if you qualify for one.
And employees at one of the nation's largest drugstores are planning a walkout this week. What that means for customers, also straight ahead. Welcome back on your Monday afternoon, 12:23. You're looking live in Raleigh over the Legislative Building. Beautiful blue skies. You're watching WREL News, available on Spectrum and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device.
A new number one at the weekend box office, and Delta settles up with some customers over refunds. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Delta will pay roughly $30 million to settle a class action lawsuit related to refunds during the pandemic. So the lawsuit alleges thousands of customers received credits after requesting a cash refund for canceled flights. To qualify, passengers had to purchase non-refundable tickets for canceled flights that were scheduled between March 1st of 2020 and April 30th of 2021. Delta will pay $27 million to settle the claims, as well as interest and an additional $2.3 million in legal fees. More than 14,000 customers had submitted claims in the case. The number of restaurant jobs is back to where it was pre-pandemic. About 60,700 jobs at restaurants, bars, and other food service outlets were added in September, according to the Labor Department. And that puts overall jobs in the industry about 30,000 higher than it was in February of 2020, according to the National Restaurant Foundation. The rebound in jobs comes after years of changes in the restaurant business due to the pandemic. Data shows there were fewer restaurants last year than in 2019. It changed. Some think may be permanent. The latest installment in the Exorcist franchise won the weekend box office, but came up short of expectations for its opening. The Exorcist Believer rang up $27.2 million in ticket sales in its debut. Some were forecasting it would do about $35 million in sales, but the showing was enough for The Exorcist to easily top the second place finisher. That went to Paw Patrol, the Mighty Movie, which pulled in $11.8 million at the weekend box office. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Union workers at Mack Trucks hit the picket line today. Nearly three quarters of workers rejected a new 5-year contract with the company. The deal included a 19% pay raise over the life of the contract and increases in health and retirement benefits. The UAW represents about 4,000 Mack Truck workers in Pennsylvania, Florida, and Maryland. Mack Trucks is owned by Volvo Trucks. And if you were planning a trip to Walgreens this week, you might need to have a backup plan. Pharmacy staff at several stores across the country are planning to walk out of work today. Workers say harsh working conditions make it really difficult to fill prescriptions safely. And the protest comes just 1 week after employees at several CVS stores also walked off the job. Both Walgreens and CVS have acknowledged their employees are overworked. Walgreens employees say they're planning to walk out through Wednesday.
Israeli fighter jets are reportedly hitting targets in Gaza. Things are changing in Israel by the minute. And coming up at 12:30, we'll get you updated on those newest developments.
And it's been nearly 1 year since the Moore County power grid shooting left hundreds in the dark. Coming up, Duke Energy shares what has changed since to secure our energy grids. As we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
I'm Eric Miller in the WRAL Live Center. Just in the last couple of minutes, we learned a former Wake County educator with decades of experience is now going to be shaping state policy. This is Dr. Kati Moore right here. She served for 35 years with Wake County Public Schools, including 5 years as superintendent. Just in the last few minutes, Governor Roy Cooper announced she is now going to be a member of the State Board of Education. That means she's going to have a role in shaping everything from teacher qualifications to teacher salaries to the content of courses taught here in North Carolina. Obviously, a lot to unpack here. We'll bring you more details as soon as we have them.
Gaza launched a barrage of rockets towards southern Israel today as the war between Israel and the militant group Hamas enters its third day. Smoke could be seen billowing from the ruins of homes and businesses. The Israel Defense Force said dozens of its fighter jets struck several targets in Gaza. About 130 people and families, including children, were taken hostage by Hamas and are pleading for information. There are growing questions about Iran's potential roles in this attack as well. Iran's potential role in the attack. Now, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said he has not yet seen any evidence of Iran directed the violence, but that Iran and Hamas have had a long relationship. You can also find the most up-to-date information coming your way on WRL.com and the WRL News app.
Sanitation workers in Rocky Mount plan to rally outside tonight's city council meeting as they call for a pay raise. The push comes after the city raised starting salaries for police and firefighters earlier this year. Some sanitation workers say their department deserves it, too. The city says under the new budget, nearly all sanitation workers received raises between 5 and 24%.
Breaking news out of Moore County this noon. In the last hour, we have learned new information about a deadly home invasion. Investigators now say two people died in what they're calling a home invasion on Forest Circle in Aberdeen. WRL's Gilbert Bays is live at the scene after speaking with the Moore County Sheriff about this investigation. Gilbert, what have you learned?
Yeah, you're right. This is a terrible situation here for the folks who live in this community here. The incident happened in that house back there. We've seen a cleaning crew go in there. And as you mentioned, there were two individuals that we now know are dead. One was the person who lived at the house. The other, we're told by law enforcement, was a person who apparently broke into the home. Now, investigators from the Moore County Sheriff's Office spent several hours collecting evidence from this home where the incident occurred yesterday afternoon about 4:30. According to the sheriff, 23-year-old Tanisha Collins lived in the home. She was shot inside, and medics tried to perform life-saving procedures, but she died at the scene. Investigators say there was an exchange of gunfire during the home invasion. 17-year-old Darius Nicholas was shot and taken to the hospital in a private vehicle where he died. A neighbor told me Nicholas used to live in the neighborhood. Investigators are working to learn if there are any connections between those involved in the shooting.
It's sad to have this, and we lost two young lives here over drugs. That's the bottom line, unfortunately. And then I'm not sure that there might be some gang activity here, Gilbert, but we're looking at that as well.
Again, the authorities are trying to see if the individuals inside the home knew each other. This incident has left neighbors who live nearby on edge. The sheriff told me that there may be one or two more people of interest that they're looking into. Right now, they are talking to one person, Jeff, and hopefully we'll have more information as to if there are going to be any arrests made in this case.
All right, Gilbert, we started on this as breaking news this morning. Thank you for the update and that information this noon. Gilbert Bays live for us in Moore County.
Almost a year after the substation attack in Moore County, Duke Energy continues to work on improving substations around the state. Many are being upgraded in Durham County. That is where WRAL's Monica Casey is after attending a live line demonstration today. Monica, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Michelle. The big focus here today was safety. First responders from around Durham County came here to the Duke Energy site to learn about the dangers power lines can pose, even if you think they might not be live. Crews here showed the impact of all kinds of items on a power line, from a balloon to a kite line to a metal ladder. The organizers here say the goal is to collaborate and learn about the risks in a controlled environment rather than learning learning on the job during a storm situation. Attendees here today also heard about the work Duke is doing to upgrade its substations. Substations around Durham are getting pole replacements and wire size upgrades to improve their capacity. Crews are also working on undergrounding at substations. Duke continues to install self-healing technology, helping the company reroute power from another source in case of an outage to ensure fewer people are affected by that outage. Michelle?
It's all good news. Monica Casey live in Durham for us. Thanks, Monica.
Raleigh police are trying to track down the driver who they say crashed into an apartment building and then left the scene. This happened on Navajo Drive off Wake Forest Road Sunday morning. Authorities say the driver hit some meter boxes and the building itself sustained some damage as well. If you know anything about this incident, you're asked to call police. Crews in Raleigh put out a fire at a car shop on South Wellington Street this morning. It broke out just before 2 a.m. Officials say there is significant damage to that building, but no one was hurt.
80% of adults with disabilities are unemployed in Wake County. And this afternoon, we introduce you to the mother and daughter who are working to change that. Just a few years ago, Gabby was having a hard time finding a job after high school, so she started her own business that would employ people with intellectual and developmental disabilities like herself. Gabby and her mom teamed up, and they created Gabby's Pals. It has more than 40 employees with special abilities, and they help with packaging, assembling, and shipping for various companies. This Friday, the duo will host Gabby's Ghostly Gala at the Royal Banquet in Raleigh. It'll raise money to hire more people.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because I know from listening to the stories of our employees now, they tell me that, you know, if they weren't employed, they'd be sitting home with nothing to do, right? They would just be, you know, one of our employees, Miriam, says, you know, I would just sitting in my bed every day.
It is fun. I love spending time with friends.
The gala starts at 7 p.m. on Friday at the Royal in Raleigh. You can buy tickets at the door. There will be music, food, prizes, and a silent auction. We have more information on WREL.com.
Fall's here. Pumpkins are fun to showcase and decorate, but they're also good for you, too. The benefits of eating one just ahead.
And a joyride quickly turns into disaster. How a pilot is doing this afternoon after crash landing in Texas.
Pumpkins provide a lot of fun at Halloween, but did you know they are good for you as well? Pumpkin is a superfood, low fat, low calorie, packed with plenty of nutrients. Pumpkin is rich in potassium, which research suggests may help decrease blood pressure. In addition, pumpkins contain antioxidants like vitamin C, which help promote healthy skin. And speaking of skin, the orange skin of a pumpkin contains beta carotene, and when eaten, the body converts it to vitamin A. Vitamin A has anti-inflammatory properties and enhances eye and immune health.
It's going to have more fiber. It's going to slow down that rate of digestion, so it's going to keep you fuller longer, and it's also going to help stabilize the blood sugars, because when we have fluctuations in our blood sugars, that's what causes those hunger cues to occur.
And pumpkin seeds are high in zinc and vitamin E. Both nutrients have been shown to be beneficial for people with diabetes. You can eat the whole pumpkin, Michelle.
The whole thing. Decorate it and then eat it. All right, well, one of the most important nutrients doctors recommend during pregnancy can also prolong your life. Folate is highly recommended during pregnancy in the form of folic acid for rapid cell growth, which prevents birth defects. Researchers say that folate also improves your digestive system and helping to prevent the development of common cancers such as colon cancer. It can also help prevent cardiovascular disease, stroke, dementia, and Alzheimer's disease. Well, people showed up in record numbers this year to raise funds for mental health research. The 35th annual Walk for Hope welcomed runners and walkers at Angus Barn yesterday. The walk raises money for research and treatment of mental illnesses. The family-friendly event on Sunday featured food, games, music, and prizes. WREL is a proud community partner of the Walk for Hope.
White Claw is known for its alcoholic beverages, but nail polish will tell you what it's called and where you can get it. Plus,
we're just thankful to be alive.
A new pilot's words after his plane made a crash landing. What happened and how soon he says he'll get back into the sky?
I'm Eric Miller in the WRAL Live Center. Here in just the last few minutes, the Associated Press is reporting that President Joe Biden and European leaders will discuss the situation in Israel here later this afternoon. This comes as those leaders seek to avoid a wider war here in the Middle East. The German Chancellor, the French President, as well as the British Prime Minister will all be in those talks. All three of those leaders have condemned Hamas's attack on Israel. We'll continue to monitor what comes out of that meeting, bringing those details when we have them.
A pilot from Texas is recounting how he narrowly averted disaster when he had to make an emergency landing in Arlington, Texas. Matt Howerton spoke with the pilot about this scary experience and the good choices he made to land his plane safely.
Hop on right in.
Uziel Salinas, or Uzi for short.
My goal is to become an airline pilot.
Is new to the skies.
Trying to get my license certificates out of the way and to keep on going. That feel I get when I'm up in the air and that takeoff is just, it's thrilling to me.
But the 26-year-old, who just got his pilot's license in May with Aviator Air Flight School in Grand Prairie.
I was just going for a joyride, building hours with a friend.
Got this unexpected thrill on Monday, a crash landing.
I know there's a risk anytime I go up flying.
All sparked by a possible mechanical failure.
I realized that I was not going to be able to make it, so I declared an emergency.
Uzi, above Arlington at the time.
I saw nothing but buildings, nothing but traffic, residential buildings, and that definitely did scare me, did make me worry. I had to find the best place to land, and I had to do it with minimal damage and without hurting anyone on the ground. That was my focus at that moment.
He chose an empty lot next to a warehouse, shooting for a chain link fence, and it proved to be a good choice.
I was hoping for that fence to catch us, to decrease our airspeed.
The plane coming to a screeching halt, no injuries.
And I grabbed his hand, he grabbed mine, and we were just thankful to be alive.
Uzi crediting his training at Aviator Air.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
Company owns the plane he was in.
Have you been back up in the air since the crash?
Oh yes, yes, I have.
Pretty dedicated. This moment not stopping Uzi's quest to become an airline pilot someday.
Life flashes before your eyes, I imagine there. As Matt Howerton reporting, and the FAA is now investigating the mechanical failure with that crash.
Glad he's okay, though. Wow. Well, three people are safe this afternoon after their boat sank near Great Bay in New Jersey. The Coast Guard says they received a radio call requesting help getting to shore. That call was quickly followed by a second radio saying the boat was going down because of bad weather and shallow waters. A Coast Guard helicopter had to be used in the rescue. Officials say they found the three people clinging to the hull of the boat. All three were rescued. No injuries reported. My goodness. I mean, that's scary.
Another story to tell.
Ooh, yeah. Another survival story. Yeah.
Wild stuff right there.
Yeah.
Well, it's clear blue skies out there, and that clear nature of our skies not allowing any of the heat to stick around. It's all up and out of here. So we got a cool start to our day, and we're hanging in there right now. Kat Campbell in the WRAL Severe Weather Center.
It's perfect sweater weather outside today, Jeff and Michelle. I mean, just beautiful outside. We've got the clear blue sky, but boy, it was cold this morning, and it's pretty cool this afternoon. Certainly feels good as long as you're in the direct sun. That really makes a difference compared to the shade out there today. 70 degrees are high today, so we're running just over 5 degrees below normal for this time of year. Upper 60s at 5 o'clock, and then as we get towards 7 o'clock tonight, already down to 63 degrees. The next 3 days, warm up a little bit. It looks like it should be quite nice. 77 degrees tomorrow, Wednesday 74. We may need to bump up our cloud cover on Wednesday with the latest trends I'm seeing. Thursday, 80 degrees, the forecast. However, we're going to be watching for perhaps a stray shower south of the Triangle. Thursday, I would not expect it in the Triangle, which is good news for this state fair. A lot of us could really, really use the rain. I was just talking to Michelle about this before the newscast. I mean, to water the grass, I know a lot of people are hoping for it. Luckily, we are not under drought status anywhere in our viewing area right now. However, we are abnormally dry for the areas in yellow, and I would say that's about 40% of our area right now. So a lot of us could use some rain, and our next opportunity, at least decent opportunity for rain, will come on Saturday. Up until then, if you need to get some yard work done, you should be in pretty good shape to get it done this week. Saturday still doesn't look like it's going to be a washout, though. When you look at the forecast rainfall, we're really looking
looking at likely a quarter of an inch of rain or less. There is still time, however, for that to change. So stay tuned for updates throughout the week. If we look at the first 3 days of the state fair, though, that does mean that there could be a little bit of rain around on Saturday. Thursday, you're in pretty good shape. Friday, more clouds, not too bad. But Saturday and even Friday night, if you're going to be out that way, you may need to have a quick indoor backup plan. The good news is there are plenty of indoor places to go during the state fair. You can see the animals, some of the food out there, the crafts, so you'll have plenty of options. Certainly looking forward to it this weekend. Saturday's cold front brings a chance for some scattered showers. At this point, you know, it doesn't look like a lot of forcing for the rain, but we'll keep an eye on it for you. And then we get a second cool down behind this front, kind of like what we saw this past weekend. By the time we get to Sunday and early next week, it does look like we're going to cool right back down again. It's almost like we're in a cycle right now with these cold fronts. For today, we do have a 20% chance for rain up near southern Virginia. Other than that, pretty dry here in the triangle. 77 Tuesday. We're back up to 80 for the start of the state fair. And then comes the cold front bringing rain chances. And there's that temperature drop, 67 degrees by next Sunday. Jeff and Michelle.
Ooh. Thanks, Kat. Mango Tango and Lover Berry Blackberry. Those are two of the colors, not flavors, colors available in White Claw's newest business venture. We'll tell you what's included in the bundle straight ahead.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Israel launched retaliatory missile attacks on Hamas targets across the Gaza Strip today as the fighting continues into its third day. The number dead on both sides now more than 1,200, including at least 9 Americans. The Israeli military has ordered a complete siege on the Gaza Strip, halting deliveries of food, fuel, and supplies to its more than 2 million people.
Moore County Sheriff's deputies are searching for two people involved in a deadly home invasion. Investigators say three people went to a home on Forest Circle in Aberdeen yesterday afternoon. They say the intruders and the people inside the home exchanged gunfire, and at least two people were hurt, and 23-year-old Tanasha Collins and 17-year-old Darius Nicholson both died. Nicholson is believed to be one of the three intruders. Investigators say this is likely drug-related.
Tomorrow is Election Day in North Carolina, with elections taking place in Cary, Durham, and Fayetteville. For some, this is the general election, and for others, it's a primary. Remember, you do need a photo ID when you go to vote. Polls are open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. We'll begin sharing results on air and online shortly after the polls close tomorrow evening.
A huge display of carved pumpkins has become a Halloween tradition in one Rhode Island community. Tim Perry has been carving craft pumpkins at his home for the last 15 years. He calls it the House of 1,000 Pumpkins, although he has nearly 1,400 of them. He puts them out every October and enjoys the crowds that gather to see them.
I get tons of great remarks. Everybody thanks me for doing it. They say I'm the best thing in the neighborhood. They look forward to it every year.
The display also serves as a fundraiser for cancer relief after Perry's wife was diagnosed 2 years ago.
Well, if you can believe it, we're 77 days away from Christmas, and one company has a creative way to celebrate. Stouffer's has announced its first ever Advent calendar, or comfort calendar, as they're calling it. It's the first of its kind frozen food Advent calendar will feature 7 meals that includes favorites like their family-sized mac and cheese, lasagna, and chicken bacon ranch bowls. The bundle is only available online. It's $40. All right, ladies, listen up. White Claw is venturing into the nail industry. The popular adult beverage company is partnering up with Nails Incorporated. Their line, dubbed the Claw Saver Set, comes with 4 shades of nail polish. The polish matches the White Claw seltzer colors and has protective and hardening biotin and retinol. The goal, a way for you to open your can without breaking your fingernail. I love this. The set also comes with nail stickers and a claw saver as well. All right.
Lots of ways to
yes.
do it. Yeah. Our pet of the day now comes to us from Love Mutts. This is Milo at just over a year old. He's 52 pounds already. Loves to stay active and would make the perfect companion for outdoor fun. Milo is affectionate and loyal. He has high energy, so he likely would do well with an active family that enjoys the outdoors and regular physical activities. Contact lovemuttsrescue.org if you are interested.
Well, the average U.S. mortgage rate hit a 23-year high this week. Ahead on our news at 4, what you can do to avoid getting hit at the top of the scale when buying a home.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anywhere, anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day. Enjoy it. It's beautiful out there.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.